We need on-site renewable energy, high efficiency, and all-electric homes everywhere in order to have a safe, just transition.
There are going to be incredible opportunities for workers in this new energy economy.
That environmental justice is also about communities being able to take charge of their own infrastructure.
Welcome back to the Rise Up podcast in our new season focused on the energy transition in Midwest states. I'm Nick Hyla, Executive Director of the Midwest Renewable Energy Association. And in this podcast season, I've talked to a range of professionals working in the energy system to discuss utility regulation, distributed energy resources, building energy efficiency, large-scale renewables, transmission build-out, small modular nuclear reactors, electric vehicles, critical mineral needs, workforce readiness, energy justice, and more. With our one-man production shop, Kyle, our membership manager, and research support from energy policy students from the University of Wisconsin-Stevens Point. Thank you, Kenzie and Brandy. We'll share interviews as well as background research and resources for you to continue exploring topics of interest to you. As you are aware, trends in energy prices, technology advancement, and consumer adoption have been moving the U.S. towards electrification. The electricity sector is getting an increasing amount of electricity from renewable sources, and customer adoption of solar, battery storage, energy management, and electric vehicles has been changing the way we produce and use electricity. Over the past 10 years, a few U.S. states have passed policies that have accelerated renewable electricity development and customer adoption of distributed energy resources. In varying degrees, states have across the country have followed suit as market trends and consumer sentiment have supported accelerated in-state renewable energy development. The varying degrees and approaches, however, have effectively created a 50-state experiment in energy policy. In 2022, however, the future of U.S. energy markets dramatically changed with a trifecta of federal legislation: the CHIPS Act, Bipartisan Infrastructure Law, and the Inflation Reduction Act will result in more federal energy investments over the next 10 years than the previous 30 years combined. The investment, however, will meet a complex, capital-intensive, and calcified energy market with layers of decision-making and differing and often opposing views of the future at every level. The impact of the legislation will depend on the implementation of its many provisions. This depends on decision-making by local jurisdictions, state and federal lawmakers, state and federal officials, state and federal courts, foreign interests, business leaders, regulators, finance firms, consumers, voters, and more. And in the energy system, our choices today are constrained by past decisions that have given us the infrastructure and ownership structure that define the current system, including the debts we owe for past investments. Energy underwrites the economy, and the built environment is made in its image. Our system today is built for fossil fuel. Nate Higgins, who many of you may know through his popular energy podcast, provides a good explanation of the central role that fossil fuels continue to play. As he states, one barrel of oil can perform about 1,700 kilowatt hours of work, which is equivalent to 4.5 years of a human's physical labor. Using this simplified measurement, current petroleum use in the global economy is equivalent to 500 billion human workers, compared to the 4 billion actual humans working. In short, society depends on oil. Oil's energy density, transferability, and suitability to today's infrastructure lead to a pretty clear conclusion. To sustain today's level of energy consumption, we have nothing that can fully replace it. If the global economy continues to grow at 3% per year for the next 30 years, we will use as much energy as humans did in the previous 10,000. And if the global economy doesn't grow, what then? The implications of global economic retraction have contributed to a tremendous amount of financial engineering, basically money printing, resulting in trillions of dollars of debt in the U.S. alone that essentially serve to mask an increasingly restricted fossil fuel supply. And in our current political environment, even modest increases in energy prices result in drastic monetary and geopolitical measures. In this context, energy efficiency and distributed renewables are critical to the continuation of the current fossil-fueled global economic system. Maybe there's an irony in that those of us that yearn for systemic change are often the foremost champions of a clean energy transition. And the loudest opponents of clean energy are often also the foremost champions of continuing the current global economic order. For our purposes, however, we'll leave the larger geopolitical discussion about our energy future to others. The complexities and conundrum often lead to inaction, and in my opinion, positive action is precisely what's needed now. With this in mind, we are operating with a single premise. Policies and programs that increase energy efficiency and increase renewable energy generation will reduce our reliance on fossil fuels, and this is a good thing. And policies and programs that increase market transparency, increase consumer choice, increase competition, and increase access to the economic benefits of energy infrastructure investment will help provide the greatest benefit to the greatest number of people. We will keep sustainability central to the conversation. We'll focus on issues most relevant to Midwest states. We'll look toward the future while keeping the past in mind. We will address opportunities and also the very real limitations we face in a transition to an electric and renewable energy system. We'll explore the critical role of energy efficiency and distributed energy resources in enabling a clean energy transition. And we'll look at how the utility business model needs to change to enable an affordable, reliable, and resilient energy system for decades to come. So, what has you excited about the future of the energy system in the Midwest?
One is the Inflation Reduction Act and the ability for schools and nonprofits to get that 30% direct payment.
So the Inflation Reduction Act created these direct pay and transferability provisions.
The Inflation Reduction Act is the largest climate action bill that's been introduced in the United States, an increase of 9 million jobs across the clean energy sector.
I see the IRA as having potential to do so much.
The IRA bill is probably the most significant federal policy around energy that we've seen in a very long time.
Meaningful funding at the federal level and the ability of the states to harness that funding along with nonprofit organizations, advocacy organizations, utility companies is really just going to be the perfect mix.
We all have a lot of capability that's not going to emerge magically. It has to be planned for. We need a different kind of grid, a different architecture and infrastructure.
Economic snapshot of the report paints a pretty rosy picture, and it's just even rosier when we factor in the IRA.
We've been talking about the clean energy transition for quite a while, but we're starting to see major steps forward now happening.
It's great that we've seen expansion of wind and solar energy as a result of some of the production tax credits, and recognizing that nuclear also has a role like that.
Let's get there. Let's get moving there. Do some research on the new technologies, the new nuclear technologies, while we're trying to reduce emissions today.
It provides all kinds of opportunities for wind and solar and battery storage, nuclear, carbon capture, you know, a little bit of everything.
Battery technologies are advancing, and so you're seeing utilities already talking about different chemistries than lithium ion for use as stationary storage.
Add battery storage to the grid, wind, solar, wind both onshore and offshore, energy efficiency, programs for other demand side measures.
We need to make it as possible as we can from the architecture side too. The efficiency side.
Nickel, cobalt, graphite, lithium rare earth elements, aluminum, some extent, copper, manganese. So you cannot be self-sufficient or a zero carbon country without having all those materials available.
Mole Lake, Sakagan, Chippewa was directly downstream from Exxon's discovery of a zinc copper deposit that would discharge into the stream that feeds the tribe's wild rice lake.
Energy democracy means that people have a real say where their energy comes from and how they use it.
In a democracy, everybody should be voting. More people should be voting every election, right? In energy democracy, more people should be participating through public hearings, through public comments, getting involved in organizations like MREA or Renew if they're interested in renewables, CUB if they're just interested in fairness and affordability.
Developing a plan for how we are educating folks and supporting folks to build out their own business. With you being the Midwest Renewable Energy Association, you hold a lot of power to reach folks.
Very small towns are incredibly vibrant and clean and have great roads and all these things. And it's because of the revenue that comes from the wind industry.
EVs are absolutely better for the environment than internal combustion engine vehicles. Not only are they fun to drive, but you save money on fuel and maintenance, and they're better for the environment.
Electric vehicle policy is being talked about more and more. The economics are going to improve there, and we're going to see a lot more electric vehicle adoption in Wisconsin.
In the next 3 years, that the floodgates for vehicles are going to open. The infrastructure has come a long way in the past few years, and over the next 3 to 5, it's really going to explode.
Today, we're at roughly a quarter of a million jobs in the solar industry specifically, producing 30% of the nation's electricity from solar. We're looking at nearly quadrupling the workforce, going from 250,000 to close to a million jobs.
We need folks from community teaching those classes. We need more black and brown bodies teaching those classes. That really has the capability of having a huge impact.
We'll be providing jobs in the process, and we're going to educate, inspire, and new generation of workers.
When you feel like what you do every day is aligned with your values and what you hope to see in the world, it makes coming to work so much more fun.
Donating panels to local schools so schools can understand how solar works and view it as a potential benefit to their life or a career path.
We got to work with a local company to make it happen, and it was really fun. It was so much easier than I thought, and I encourage all students to, like, if they're interested in renewable energy, to like reach out to your teacher.
We need people from across the state to get involved. It's your energy future. It's not. It's all of our energy future. If we don't get involved, it'll be built for us.
Such an exciting time in this industry. The scope and clarity of the conversation has changed substantially, and MREA has been a big leader in that.
We've got this beautiful roadmap. We've got some examples of some paths that we can take. We need to walk those paths, or even better yet, start running on them. And you know, we need to do that together. So really appreciate you talking with you today and all of the work that MREA does.
Catch our Season 4 guests at Rise Up Live events at the 2023 Energy Fair from June 23rd through the 25th in Custer, Wisconsin. Attend live events to ask questions and get involved in the conversation. Early Bird Energy Fair tickets are now on sale through May 15th at theenergyfair.org/tickets. See you at the fair!
Special thanks to all our guests. In order of appearance, Cal Couliard, Katie Keenbaum, Richard Lawrence, Marquita Keys, Peter Mavis, Rebecca Cameron Valk, Brad Klein, Chelsea Chandler, Andrew Kell, Paul Wilson, David Schlissel, Tom Content, Elizabeth Turner, Snehamoy Chatterjee, Al Geddix, Jane McCurry, Ed Zinthifer, Jason McDuff, Eric Udelhoffen, and Shannon Wolf, produced by Kyle Galloway and hosted by Nick Hyla.